Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, May 5th, 2022. Coming up this hour.
U.S. stocks have their best day in 2 years after Jay Powell indicates a 75 basis point hike is not in the cards.
The Bank of England is expected to raise rates to the highest level in 13 years.
And Warren Buffett raises his bet on one oil giant.
A majority of New Yorkers disapprove of Mayor Adams' handling on crime. Plus, Secretary of State Antony Blinken tests positive for COVID. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower at Sports. The Yankees' 11-game win streak came to an end. The Mets also lost. The Rangers and Penguins play Game 2 at the Garden tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg, with S&P futures down 25 points, Dow futures down 138, and NASDAQ futures down 107, 10-year Treasury down 4/32nds, yield 2.95%, the yield on the 2-year, 2.67%. COMEX Gold is up 1.6%, up $28.90 at $1,897.70 an ounce. The euro this morning at 1.0596 against the dollar, the yen 129.67. Nathan.
Well, Karen, the pullback we're seeing in stock futures this morning follows yesterday's Fed-fueled rally in the news conference after the 50 basis point rate hike from the central bank. Chairman Jay Powell indicated another 50, not 75, was on the table for the next meeting.
75 basis point in an increase is not something the committee is actively considering. Assuming that economic and financial conditions evolve in ways that are consistent with our expectations, there's a broad sense on the committee that additional 50 basis point increases should be on the table for the next couple of meetings.
Well, that comment by Fed Chair Powell fueled a huge rally in the markets. Treasury yields dropped. Stocks rallied the most in 2 years, with the S&P 500 surging 3%, while the tech-heavy NASDAQ rose 3.2%. Jason Brady is CEO of Thornburg Investment Management.
Yeah. I actually expected 75 to be on the table. Mm-hmm. He took it off the table. I think the markets were pricing in very hawkish, and you couldn't out-hawk the market. So obviously the reaction to markets has been that this is a little bit more dovish.
Now, Thornburg Investment Management CEO Jason Brady says he thinks yesterday's rally is not sustainable.
Well, reaction is still pouring into Powell, pushing back against a larger 75 basis point increase, Nathan. And we get the very latest live with Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
And Karen at Grant Thornton, the chief economist there, Diane Swong, says the Fed is operating in a new paradigm.
The Fed is now in the position where they're focused on inflation and employment is secondary. That is a very different equation than we've seen the Fed in for a very, very long time.
Scott Minard, the chief investment officer at Guggenheim, says going back to the 1930s, the Fed has never been able to reduce inflation by more than 2.5 percentage points without inducing a recession.
So even if we don't get close to the 2% target, it's very likely that we will have some kind of an economic slowdown well before we get to the desired inflation target.
Scott Minard sees further hikes of 50 basis points on the table for June and July. Former Philly Fed President Charles Plosser also weighing in. He says Powell was trying to appease markets and should not have taken a 75 basis point hike off the table. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. Now we're waiting for another important policy decision this morning in Europe. Let's get the very latest on that live from Bloomberg's Max Ramsey. Good morning, Max.
Morning to you, Nathan and Karen. Less than an hour to go until the rate decision from the Bank of England. Markets are pricing in a fourth back-to-back hike. This would take the benchmark policy rate to 1%. That's the highest since 2009. But also very much in focus, any details of how the BOE intends to unwind more than a decade of bond purchases. Live in London, Max Ramsey, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Max, thank you. There's also an OPEC meeting today. OPEC and its allies are expected to ratify another small increase in oil production. Their meeting comes just one day after the EU announced its plan for a phased ban on Russian crude. And checking prices right now, NYMEX crude oil is higher, up 0.2% or 16 cents at $107.98 a barrel. Brent is up 0.4% at $110.61.
Well, oil prices at historic highs. Karen, have lawmakers pointing to antitrust laws at OPEC. A key Senate committee is expected to approve legislation that would allow the U.S. to sue the cartel for manipulating energy markets. This vote by the Senate Judiciary Committee today would pave the way for full Senate consideration.
Well, staying in the oil patch, Nathan, Warren Buffett is increasing his bet on one big energy company. And we get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Berkshire Hathaway had already built up a roughly 14.6% holding of Occidental Petroleum's common stock. Now Buffett is snapping up about 5.9 million more shares of the oil giant. A filing shows the shares were bought this week at prices ranging from about $56 to $58 a piece. And right now it's trading close to $62. This morning, Occidental was the best performing stock in the S&P 500 during the first quarter, and it's seen its shares benefit from Buffett's purchases and higher oil prices driven by the war in Ukraine. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thanks. Let's turn to what's happening on the ground in Ukraine now. Civilian evacuations continue out of the war-ravaged city of Mariupol. In his latest video address, President Volodymyr Zelensky says 344 people have gotten out, even as heavy fighting continues at a steel plant in the city. The Pentagon says Russia's getting bogged down in eastern and southern Ukraine. And Sweden's foreign minister met with Secretary of State Antony Blinken. She says the U.S. is offering security assurances to Sweden and Finland as they apply to join NATO.
Well, the other big political story we continue to follow, Nathan, is abortion rights. The head of the CDC, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, is weighing in, and she warns of more deaths if the linked Supreme Court ruling on Roe v. Wade stands. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has more.
Dr. Walensky says she fears that there could be an atmosphere where there's much less medical supervision for people taking things into their own hands. And she says it will lead to unequal access to the procedure because people with less funds will not be able to cross state lines. Tied to that, abortion rights groups took over $12 million over the 24 hours following the leak of the initial Roe v. Wade decision draft. And Planned Parenthood says it saw a 650% increase in online action. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thanks. As futures move lower, we check your local headlines next, plus sports. This is Bloomberg. At 6:07 on Wall Street, we're at 58 degrees in Central Park. Still dealing with that accident, Old Country Road in Westbury. A tractor-trailer involved. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. A majority of New Yorkers say they disapprove of Mayor Eric Adams' handling of crime in the five boroughs, a reversal from 3 months ago. According to a new Quinnipiac University poll, only 37% approve of Adams' handling of crime, while 54% disapprove. In February, 49% approved of Adams' performance on crime. The news comes as two men were shot and killed in Midtown Manhattan overnight. Police are searching for three suspects for the shooting at 37th and 9th Avenue. Meanwhile, Mayor Adams is urging New Yorkers to trade the pajamas for lunch near their workplaces. Adams says that's the way metropolitan economies function properly. He spoke during a panel discussion at the Milken Institute Global Conference in Beverly Hills, California. State Department spokesman Ned Price says Secretary of State Antony Blinken is quarantining.
Secretary Blinken has tested positive for COVID. The good news is that he is fully vaccinated. He is boosted. He is experiencing only mild symptoms.
Spokesman Ned Price says Blinken will work from home in the coming days. Blinken had to postpone a key China policy speech that had been scheduled for today. He attended the White House Correspondents Association dinner on Saturday. No word yet on who leaked the Supreme Court draft opinion on abortion rights. Chief Justice John Roberts has called for an internal investigation. Meanwhile, President Biden is not mincing words about a draft document, with the majority voting to overturn Roe v. Wade.
What are the next things that are going to be attacked? Because this MAGA crowd is really the most extreme political organization that's existed in American history, in recent American history.
The president spoke to reporters at an event on the economy and the deficit. We're learning Donald Trump Jr. was interviewed as part of a House Select Committee's investigation of last year's riot at the U.S. Capitol. He is the latest member of former President Trump's family to be questioned. A person familiar with the matter says the private virtual session lasted between 2 and 3 hours. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street. John Stashower is here at the Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan, the Yankees' first loss since April 21st in Toronto. They got an early home run from Joey Gallo. Nothing after that. The 11-game winning streak ended 2-1. Ester Cortez gave up a Matt Chapman home run. He took his first loss. Michael King and Clay Holmes followed Cortez through four hitless innings of relief. Both those guys have ERAs under one. Day off today. Yanks back home tomorrow to play Texas. Mets tonight in Philadelphia. They lost to Atlanta 9-2. Scoreless game going to the sixth inning when the Braves erupted for seven runs. Tyler McGill, in his first start since he got the win in the Mets no-hitter, suffered his first loss. So they split the four-game series. The first series this season, the Mets have failed to win. NBA playoffs, Miami and Phoenix are the top seeds, and they both won at home and both lead their series 2-0. Stanley Cup playoffs, three series are now tied at one after wins by Tampa Bay, Minnesota, and Edmonton. Carolina again beat Boston. The Hurricanes are up 2-0. Two nights after the first triple overtime game played at Madison Square Garden in 51 years, Rangers and Penguins will be back at it tonight for Game 2. Rangers coach Gerard Gallant asked about losing a Game 1 heartbreaker.
It would be harder if we were playing Colorado, who's probably the best team in the league, and you lose 5-0, like games like that where, you know, you're saying to your team, how are we going to get back from this? We're playing a very good team who I think anybody can win this series. A better team's going to win this series, and it's going to be a battle. So, you know what? It's one game. You get over it, and you move on.
It appears the Pittsburgh goalie tonight will be Louis Domingue, who's never started a playoff game before. He came off the bench the other night when the starter, Casey DeSmith, got hurt. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. Right now, S&P futures are lower by 22 points. Dow futures down 118. NASDAQ futures lower by 93 points. Some pullback for equity futures after the Fed-fueled rally sparked by Chairman Powell taking 75 basis points off the table for now. More on the Fed decision coming up with Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee, still in Washington. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, sunshine and low 70s today. Some scattered showers possible tomorrow, low 60s. We'll start the weekend with a breezy high in the mid-50s. Currently 57 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are signaling a pause following the S&P 500's biggest daily advance since 2020 after Jerome Powell eased fears that the Fed will embark on a more aggressive pace of tightening. European shares are moving higher, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures down 23 points this morning, Dow futures down 125, NASDAQ futures down 97. The DAX in Germany is up 1.4%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 2.95%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.67%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.6% or 66 cents at $108.46 a barrel. COMEX gold up 1.6%, up $30.10 at $18.98.90 an ounce. The euro 1.0602 against the dollar. British pound 1.2568. The yen at 129.64. And checking Bitcoin this morning, it's lower, down 0.8% at $39,470. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Ukrainian forces say they repelled Russian attacks in the east and captured some territory. It comes as Moscow moved to obstruct the flow of Western weapons to Ukraine by bombarding rail stations and other supply line targets across the country. Coast-to-coast protests continue after the release of a Supreme Court draft opinion that alludes to a reversal on Roe v. Wade. Fencing has gone up in front of the U.S. Supreme Court complex. In baseball, the Yankees, Mets, Red Sox, Nationals, A's, and Giants all lost. The Orioles won. In the NHL playoffs, the Rangers play Game 2 of their series against the Penguins tonight. The Bruins lost to the Hurricanes. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan?
All right, Michael, thanks. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
75 basis point in an increase is not something the committee is actively considering. Assuming that economic and financial conditions evolve in ways that are consistent with our expectations, there's a broad sense on the committee that additional 50 basis point increases should be on the table for the next couple of meetings.
That was Fed Chairman Jerome Powell delivering what markets were expecting in terms of interest rate hikes coming this month and potentially down the road, sparking a rally by taking 75 basis points off the table. Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee is back with us this morning from our Bloomberg 99.1 studios in Washington, D.C. this morning after a very consequential Fed news conference. Mike, good morning. I guess my question is the Fed fighting inflation at this point, or is the Fed fighting the market?
The Fed is fighting inflation, and that is something the market is trying to digest. Actually, the Fed has been sort of pushing the markets higher. When I say markets, I mean the bond market in terms of yield. They've been pushing that higher, and that has kind of helped them in the sense that it tightens financial conditions more than just their rate rises. They're sort of front-running themselves here. Mm-hmm. And if the market got a little ahead of itself with some idea of 75 basis points, we're kind of back to reality now. And we are going to see rates continue to rise, and that will slow the economy at some point.
Will it slow inflation? I guess that's the other big question.
Yeah, that was the point that Jay Powell was making. This isn't easy because much of the inflation that we see is on the supply side, and what the Fed can do is affect demand. But if they can affect demand enough, they would bring demand down to supply. So at that point, you would get rid of inflation. But that might mean we have to go way down in growth, possibly even into a recession. Powell doesn't think so, but many analysts do.
Where, or at least do we have a better sense of where the Fed is aiming in terms of the inflation rate? Did we get a better indication of that from Chairman Powell based on what he had to say yesterday?
Well, he did assert they're still trying to reach their target of 2%, but he didn't put a time frame on it. He did suggest they think they can get to neutral, the rate at which they're neither stimulating or holding back the economy, by the end of the year. But he also said he didn't know exactly what the neutral rate is, maybe around 2.5%. So we could have significantly higher interest rates than we've had over the last 3 or 4 years, but not high by historical standards. And what effect that has on the overall economy is going to be hard to predict.
How important, Mike, was it for the Fed to have unanimity in this decision? It was a unanimous decision to go for 50 basis points this time around, even after St. Louis President Bullard at least floated the possibility before this meeting of 75.
Well, you know, he was asked about 75, and he said, well, it's not my base case, but I could, I wouldn't rule it out. And then that became a thing on Wall Street, is Bullard calling for 75, but when he didn't really call for 75. So I think the Fed was never really in danger of being disunited on this issue. But Wall Street was sort of hedging its bets just in case. You could make an argument that if you're going to go up to 2.5%, you might as well do it as quickly as possible. But the Fed seems to think that is too much of a risk to the markets and the economy because it would surprise them and raise questions about how worried the Fed might be about inflation in the future.
Yeah, it did seem as though the market took the chairman's words about 75, at least not actively considering it at this point, as off the table. But do we have some kind of an idea, Mike, of what would need to take place in the economy or in market conditions for the Fed to actively consider 75?
You'd probably have to see a really big rise in core inflation. The Fed knows that we're seeing a lot of headline inflation generated by food problems and oil prices, and oil prices likely to go up again if Europe follows through and embargoes Russian oil. So they can't do anything about that. But core prices, if they start to rise considerably, and pressure in the core has been lower than on the headline. So if that turns around and they rise considerably, then the Fed might get worried enough to do something.
All right, Michael McKee, as always, great getting your thoughts, especially the morning after a Fed day. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Economics correspondent, with us from our 99.1 studios in Washington, D.C., as we look at a bit of pullback for futures after the rally. We have S&P futures down 21 points. Dow futures are down 190. 19, and NASDAQ futures are lower by 88 points. 10-year Treasury yield 2.95%. Watching this red headline cross the Bloomberg terminal, Elon Musk has received additional equity commitment letters for his deal to buy Twitter. We're going to have much more on that straight ahead as Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy, especially in times of crisis. Make your giving impactful. Visit jcfny.org.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day. Brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Investment advisors switch to Interactive Brokers for lowest cost global trading and turnkey custody solutions. No ticket charges and no conflicts of your interest at ibkr.com/RIA. Up first, we're seeing a slight pullback in futures this morning after yesterday's rally that followed a press conference from Federal Reserve Chair Jay Powell. Powell indicated a 75 basis point hike was not being considered for meetings in June and said he's committed to bringing down inflation.
Inflation is much too high, and we understand the hardship it is causing, and we're moving expeditiously to bring it back down. We have both the tools we need and the resolve that it will take to restore price stability on behalf of American families and businesses.
And Chair Jay Powell's comments came as the Fed hiked interest rates 50 basis points.
And we're still watching reaction pour in, Karen, from many different quarters. More on that in this live report from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John?
Nathan, former Philadelphia Fed President Charles Plosser says Fed Chair Powell yesterday was trying to appease the markets, and bigger rate increases should not be dismissed.
I don't think he should have taken 75 basis points off the table, as many people have interpreted. I think they need to be still on the table, and that the Fed ought to have that option.
Former Philly Fed President Charles Plosser. Another reaction from Scott Minard, Chief Investment Officer at Guggenheim, says going back to the 1930s, the Fed has never been able to reduce inflation by more than 2.5 percentage points without inducing a recession. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Well, in Europe, the Bank of England will also likely lift interest rates today to combat inflation.
And back in Washington, Karen, the Senate Judiciary Committee is expected to approve legislation allowing the U.S. to sue OPEC for manipulating energy markets.
Sticking with oil, Nathan, Warren Buffett's increasing his bet on one energy company, and Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with the latest. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Berkshire Hathaway had already built up a roughly 14.6% holding of Occidental Petroleum common stock. And now Warren Buffett is snapping up about 5.9 million more shares of the oil giant. A filing shows the shares were bought this week at prices ranging from about $56 to $58 a piece. That's trading right now just above $61. And live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. That's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. 633 on Wall Street, 57 degrees in Central Park. And we got an accident on the northbound New Jersey Turnpike truck lanes near exit 13. More on that coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York City police are looking for three suspects in the shooting deaths of two men in Midtown Manhattan. The shooting happened overnight at 37th and 9th Avenue. Meanwhile, a majority of New Yorkers say they disapprove of Mayor Eric Adams' handling of crime in the five boroughs, a reversal from 3 months ago. According to a new Quinnipiac University poll, 37% approve, while 54% disapprove. Ukrainian forces say they repelled Russian attacks in the east and recaptured some territory. It comes as Moscow moved to obstruct the flow of Western weapons to Ukraine by bombarding rail stations and other supply line targets. Heavy fighting also raged at the steel mill in Mariupol. Pentagon Press Secretary John Kirby commenting in general on Russia's accuracy.
their ability to target with precision has been less than advertised throughout this entire war.
Spokesman John Kirby also says they are not focused on Moscow as it plans its May Day parade on Monday. The fallout continues over the leak of a Supreme Court majority draft opinion from February suggesting Roe v. Wade should be overturned. President Biden says more could be at stake if the abortion ruling is struck down. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is said to be experiencing mild symptoms after testing positive for COVID. State Department spokesman Ned Price.
He will quarantine at home. He will follow CDC guidelines. I know he very much looks forward to returning to the office, returning to his full schedule, and returning to the road just as soon as he is able to do so.
Spokesman Ned Price says Blinken is fully vaccinated and boosted. An Alabama murder suspect and a corrections official are still on the run after they disappeared last Friday morning. The Lauderdale County Sheriff's Department has released surveillance video showing 56-year-old jail official Vicky White leaving the lockup with 38-year-old inmate Casey White. The two are not related, but had what Sheriff Rick Singleton calls a special relationship.
My message would be, Vicky, you've been in this business for 17 years. You've seen this scenario play out more than once, and you know how it always ends. Go ahead and end it now. You know, get the phone, call 911, turn yourself in.
Sheriff Singleton says Vicky White had an unblemished record. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Just about 6:36 on Wall Street, and John Stashower has a Bloomberg sports update.
Nathan, Yankees and Mets both off to such great starts, but both lost. Yankees in Toronto 2-1. That ends the 11-game winning streak. Yanks had only 5 hits. Blue Jays had only 4. Aaron Boone not around for the end of the game, ejected after really getting into it with plate umpire Marty Foster. The Yanks did not like some of his calls, especially in 2 of Aaron Judge's at-bats. Judge let Boone do the arguing.
I could, you know, get a little irate and maybe, you know, throw my helmet, say something to him after the fact, but there's no need. You know, we got a lot of ball game left to play, and I know I'm going to get another at bat, and you know, me getting tossed is going to put somebody else at risk, you know, going in there, it's not ready, you know, so that's why we got a manager. Boone stuck up for us tonight. We just couldn't get the job done.
As for the Mets, they fell to Atlanta 9-2 as the Braves finally got to Tyler McGill with 7 runs in the 6th inning. McGill's first loss of the year. The first series the Mets have failed to win. They're in Philadelphia tonight. The Yankees are off. NBA playoffs, Phoenix shot 65%, beat Dallas by 20. Miami beat Philadelphia, so the Suns and Heat are both up 2-0. Stanley Cup playoffs, Carolina went up 2-0 on Boston. Tampa Bay, Minnesota, and Edmonton all won to tie their series at 1, and that's what the Rangers will look to do tonight. Game 2 at the Garden after the Penguins. Game 1 went in triple overtime. Big comeback in the Premier League semifinal. Real Madrid beat Manchester City. Will now play Liverpool for the championship. The Giants learned they'll take on Green Bay October 9th in London. That's one of 3 NFL games to be played in London. There'll be 1 in Mexico City. And for the first time ever, a game in Germany. That'll be Tampa Bay versus Seattle. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look now at stocks and some of the names moving in the pre-market. As we continue following the market reaction to the Fed, let's look under the hood now with Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta. What names have your eye this morning, Kriti?
Yeah, Nathan, we're going to stick with the theme that we were talking about yesterday. Uber, Lyft really getting punished yesterday. Today, it's a different set of growth names. That, of course, is eBay and Etsy, both reporting earnings, both getting punished for it. Let's start with eBay here. EBAY is your ticker, down 7%. This comes after they had a lackluster sales and profit outlook for the second quarter, really kind of emphasizing the fact that pandemic-driven sales bump, well, it's fading now as you start to see perhaps a lack of continued stimulus, but also this idea that how many people are still shopping online as opposed to perhaps going more in store. So eBay getting a little bit hurt from that. Analysts, though, saying macro headwinds, including the war in Ukraine, inflation, and consumer confidence are all likely to pressure the results in the near term. So not a great vote of confidence for eBay, but and Etsy, I should say, in the same boat. ETSY is your ticker, down 11% this morning, Nathan. Their second quarter forecast fell short of the average analyst estimate as well. Analysts, I mean, they were positive on the firm's results, but they once again reiterated what they said about eBay as well, saying that the challenges relating to the macroeconomic backdrop is a real problem. Nathan, we heard about this yesterday, our very own Michael McKee asking Chair Powell, what is the average American consumer going to think when they hear about this 50 basis point rate hike? And he said, well, you know what? We're tackling inflation, But yes, we are concerned about the consumer and the ability to weather the storm.
Yeah, and thinking about inflation, Creedy, you look at oil prices, how gas prices have surged. Interesting that you're keeping an eye this morning on renewable companies.
Yeah, they're doing really well. And it's interesting that you connected to the oil stuff, because we were talking about oil rising perhaps on the back of this new sanctions ban as the EU starts to look at sanctioning oil and banning imports from Russia by the end of the year. Perhaps that's flowing a little bit into the EV space, the renewable space, but so are the earnings picture. So there's very clearly a micro fundamental driver as well. Sunrun, for example, RUN is your ticker, up 9% this morning. This is a solar energy company that reported first quarter revenue, beating expectations. And get this, Nathan, they raised their full year outlook. They're expecting more and more solar energy demand. A similar story when it comes to Albemarle. ALB is your ticker, up 14%. This is one of the main companies, I want to say one of the only companies in the world that makes kind of lithium. And lithium, of course, is used for the battery business for EVs. So this is really seen as kind of in line with that EV renewable kind of trade. So ALB, up 14% after the company boosted their profit and sales guidance for the year, citing continued strength in lithium pricing, once again, off the back of that EV demand.
All right. Bloomberg Radio TV Markets correspondent Creedy Gupta with us this morning as we look at the broader picture ahead of the open. Futures are moving lower, with S&P futures down 23 points, Dow futures down 126 now, NASDAQ futures down 97 points, the 10-year Treasury down 5/32, the yield 2.95. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, looking for sunshine today and highs in the low 70s. Scattered showers possible tomorrow, low 60s. It'll be breezy and cooler Saturday with a high near 55 degrees. Right now, 57 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by BNY Mellon Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated wealth management and institutional firms rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com. U.S. stock index futures are falling this morning. Let's go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. And here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are in the red after yesterday's Fed-induced rally. Dow futures currently down 150 points. S&P's dropped 26. NASDAQ futures are lower by 103. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.95%. Gold is up 16. Oil is trading higher, but Bitcoin is down by 0.8%. Shanghai rose 0.7% overnight, while European markets are in the green with 1% gains across the board. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, initial jobs claims. And after the bell last night, eBay gave a weak outlook. Shares are down 7% pre-market. In deal news, people familiar said that MaxLinear is in talks to buy chipmaker Silicon Motion. In other news, Berkshire Hathaway bought more Occidental stock. Wrapping things up, Esperion Therapeutics was raised to neutral over at J.P. Morgan. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Overnight, crews set up security fencing around the U.S. Supreme Court complex for demonstrations today. It comes amid tensions after this week's leak of a draft opinion that would likely overturn Roe v. Wade. There are new developments in the war in Ukraine nearing an 11th week. Russia appears to be targeting key infrastructure to stop the flow of military aid that has been coming into Ukraine. In baseball, the Yankees, Mets, Red Sox, Nationals, A's, and Giants all lost. The Orioles won. In the NHL playoffs, the Rangers play game two of their series against the Penguins tonight. The Bruins lost to the Hurricanes. Carolina now leads that series 2-0. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Score one for Donald Trump. His endorsed candidate, J.D. Vance, won the Republican Senate primary in Ohio. This kind of election is where an endorsement is most likely to matter. A large field primary of well-funded candidates with little to differentiate them. That's where great ads, debate gaffes, clever attacks, or attention-driving endorsements can move lots of voters quickly. Meanwhile, see a pair of House Ohio primaries for further evidence of party differences. In one, a Democratic incumbent soundly defeated a Bernie-supporting radical who most party actors considered ill-suited for office. In another, Republicans in a competitive district nominated a candidate whose main claim to fame seems to have been that he painted his lawn for Trump over two better-known state legislators. Very liberal or very conservative members of Congress are fine. The problem is politicians who have no interest in governing, oppose compromise in principle, and see elected office mainly as a means of cashing in. And too many Republican nominees, unfortunately, fit into one or more of those categories. I'm Jonathan Bernstein. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It is 6:50 on Wall Street. We turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT is dedicated to bolstering support for female and minority students pursuing careers in high-paying STEM industries. Learn more at njit.edu. And now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. California, which has an economy larger than all but four countries and where much of the world's technological innovation is born, has become the first state to formally begin examining how to broadly adapt to cryptocurrency and related innovations. Governor Gavin Newsom signed an executive order for state agencies to move in tandem with the federal government to craft regulations for digital currencies. It also calls for officials to explore incorporating broader blockchain computer coding into the government operations. China is beefing up restrictions in Beijing and continuing a punishing lockdown in Shanghai. Officials in Shanghai say they won't ease the restrictions until the number of cases in the community reach zero for 3 days in a row. The top U.S. infectious disease doctor, Anthony Fauci, criticized the Chinese approach as ineffective. And the price of wheat gained the most in more than 3 weeks. One of the world's largest exporters, India, is considering whether to restrict shipments at a time when there's growing concern about a food crisis. A heat wave has hurt Indian crops this spring. That's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
Okay, Karen, thanks. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios. We're at 6:52 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include abortion rights groups seeing donations surge after the Supreme Court leak, the U.S. giving security assurances to Sweden and Finland on their road to NATO, and Donald Trump Jr. testifying before the January 6th committee in the House. For more, we're joined by Bloomberg government congressional reporter Jack Fitzpatrick. Jack, good morning. Obviously, besides the Fed move, the abortion rights story continues to unfold in Washington, D.C., and now we're starting to see that play out when it comes to advocates getting money.
That's right. Yeah, this is the big story in Washington. And yes, it's a bit of a confusing story in Congress because there's only so much Democrats can do in response to this draft ruling out of the Supreme Court. So top Democrats, especially in the Senate who are in this week, have said a lot of this comes down to November and mobilizing their supporters in the midterm elections. It is probably a positive sign for them that there's a large amount of money going to advocacy groups. NARAL, Pro-Choice America, said it had gotten a 1,403% increase in donations after the publication of that draft ruling. There's more money going to Act Blue, the Democratic fundraising platform. Probably should keep in mind, there may be limits to how much Democrats can gain. You look at the 2020 election, and college-educated women came out big for Democrats already. But it is at least sort of good news for Democrats looking forward to November, given the amount of mobilization we've seen among people who are frustrated with this draft ruling. And that really is what Democrats are banking on, is a response in the November midterms.
Well, it does really raise the question, though, doesn't it, Jack, whether this issue can continue to be kept up in terms of momentum when for a lot of voters, you would imagine that if inflation continues to be an issue, that could be driving them to the polls as well.
Yes. And if you listen to the issues that the president has been speaking on, you get sort of you can take the temperature of which issues are the most motivating. President Biden really has talked about the economy seeking to address concerns that people have with inflation. Obviously, frustration over the continuation of somewhat of a pandemic mindset, the sort of conflicting responses we've seen from the federal government. government in terms of mask mandates being pulled away and exactly what our stance is on that. There is a widespread expectation in Washington, including among some Democrats I've talked to, that Republicans have a clear advantage heading toward the midterms. And really, this abortion issue is a hope that Democrats have to mobilize their voters. But you're right, there's a lot of time left between now and November.
And I know the war in Ukraine is also a major issue in focus for the Biden administration. There was a meeting between the Secretary of State and the Foreign Minister of Sweden. What came out of that?
Yes. So Sweden's foreign minister actually said following that she got assurances. These are not security guarantees, but security assurances in the case of Russian aggression towards Sweden. And really, this stands in the context of Sweden and Finland, Finland having those concerns. There's the process of these countries applying for NATO ship. Finland is expected to apply for NATO ship May 17th. The timing on Sweden is not exactly the same. That would allow the U.S. to do a lot more. The U.S. is very hesitant, as we've seen in Ukraine, to get involved militarily in response to Russian aggression if it's not a NATO country. But there still were assurances made that it would, in the words of Sweden's foreign minister, it would be clear to Russia that if they conduct negative activities towards Sweden, then, as she said, the U.S. would not let that pass unnoticed. So clearly the U.S. is trying to offer a supportive stance to these countries.
In our last minute here, Jack, another member of former President Trump's family has gone before the January 6th committee.
Yes, this time Donald Trump Jr. has interviewed with the January 6th committee. Notable among the many Trump administration officials and close personal connections to the former president. And keep in mind that his fiance also, Kimberly Guilfoyle, already had testified last month. The committee has already made clear also that it has texts in which Donald Trump Jr. was telling Mark Meadows, then the chief of staff, that there needed to be a stronger response from his father. He actually called in those text messages for an oval address on January 6th. So the testimony may have centered around some of those issues that the committee already had revealed in text messages.
Jack Fitzpatrick, Bloomberg Government. Thanks for the update from the nation's capital. And you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Looking ahead to the market open, futures are moving lower after the rally following the Fed decision. We have S&P futures down 29 points, Dow futures down 176, NASDAQ futures down 117 points. A Bank of England decision just a few minutes away. More to come on Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.